This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you here have had some sort of eye surgery? Raise your hand. Oh, quite a few of you. Now, I haven't had eye surgery myself yet. But if I ever do have eye surgery, I'm going to be very sure that the surgeon himself can see. I mean, think about it. Would you allow a blind doctor to perform surgery on your eye? Obviously, you'd never allow that. In fact, the idea is humorous. Therefore, if there actually were a blind doctor somewhere who thought he was qualified to perform delicate eye surgery, we'd think he was either arrogant or insane. I mean, no sensible blind doctor would be so arrogant to assume that he would be qualified to perform delicate eye surgery. However, what's amazing is that there are many people in this world who are spiritually blind, and yet they think they are more than qualified to perform spiritual surgery on other people. In other words, some people don't know the truth about sin, they don't know the truth about how to be saved, and yet these same people think that they're qualified to give spiritual guidance to other people. In fact, we could easily fall into that same delusion. This happens whenever we think that we are fairly good people and that the others out there, they're the real sinners. This happens to us when we are quick to point fingers at others, but very, very slow to point fingers at ourselves, if at all. In fact, Jesus deals with this problem that we all face in our gospel reading for today. So I'd like you to pay very, very close attention as we learn what Jesus is teaching us with these words. Jesus begins by saying, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned." Ah, yes. You know what I've discovered? If people know any part of the Bible at all, it is usually this passage. You see, people in our modern world think that here Jesus is saying that we should never, ever, ever confront another person about their sin. Oh, how convenient that is. Not only do we never, ever have to be concerned about another person, no matter what they may be doing, but if someone else loves us enough to confront us about our sin, well, then we can simply throw it back in their face and quote Jesus' own words to them, "Hey, how dare you confront me about my sin? Do not judge," Jesus says. "Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned." Oh, how convenient that interpretation of Jesus' words is. But my friends, that's not what Jesus means at all. Jesus is not saying that we should never confront people about the sin in their lives. Jesus and his apostles did it all the time. For example, listen to these words of Jesus from later on in Luke's gospel, from Luke chapter 17. Listen to what Jesus says to us. He says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Did you hear that? Jesus said that if you know a person who is caught in a sin, then out of love for that person, you should rebuke him or her with God's word. And then if that person repents, then we should proclaim forgiveness to them in Jesus' name. In fact, Paul makes the same point in our reading from Galatians. Paul says we should restore people with gentleness, and we restore people who are caught in sin by lovingly using God's word to show them their sin. And then, once they repent, we point them to Jesus, who forgives them and helps them to turn away from this life that is not part of God's loving plan for them. In fact, James also makes the same point at the end of his book. In our reading from James, we see that if people wander from the truth of God, we should do whatever we can to bring them back. And of course, this is done by using God's word to show them their sin and then point them to Jesus, in whom they are forgiven and have a new beginning. The fact is, my friends, there are many, many places in Scripture where it clearly teaches that God expects us to confront other people in love when they are involved in sin so that they might repent and be saved. But if all that's true, then what in the world does Jesus mean when he says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged, do not condemn and you will not be condemned"? What does Jesus mean? Well, what Jesus means, if you look at the context, is that we should not judge others in a sinful, self-righteous manner. In other words, if we think that we are sinless people who deserve God's mercy, whereas others are the real sinners who deserve God's wrath, then we ourselves are spiritually blind, and we ourselves will be condemned because we show by our foolish teaching that we really don't trust in Jesus. In fact, listen to what Jesus says next in our gospel reading. He says, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, first let me tell you what this does not mean. Jesus is not saying that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others. He's not saying, "I won't forgive you until you forgive everybody else perfectly. Then I'll forgive you. Otherwise, don't bother coming to me." No, that's not what God is saying. Everywhere in Scripture, we see that when we come to God in repentance, we have complete forgiveness. And the forgiveness we offer to others is a result of being forgiven, not something we do to get God's forgiveness. That's very important to understand. So what is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying is that if you refuse to give forgiveness to others because you think you have a right to hold a grudge, if you refuse to give forgiveness to others because you think they don't deserve it, then you're forgetting that you don't deserve God's forgiveness either. So if in a spirit of self-righteousness you refuse to forgive other people, then what does Jesus say? The measure you use will be used to you. If you judge people on the basis of their works, then you will face the same judgment on the final day and you will not survive. On the other hand, if you realize that you are a sinner who deserves nothing but hell, and if you rejoice in the fact that through Jesus' sacrifice you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight, then that wonderful good news will transform your heart so that you will realize that you also need to strive to offer that kind of unconditional forgiveness to others. In other words, if you are a repentant believer, then the measure you use will be measured to you. If you forgive other people unconditionally because you know that Jesus died for them just like he died for you, then you can know that God will treat you the same way. That's what Jesus is saying. With that said, let's go on to see what else Jesus teaches us. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher." Now, what does that mean? Well, simply put, if we think we are above Jesus, if we think we know better than him about what is sin and how to be saved, well, then we're spiritually blind. And spiritually blind people certainly can't help other spiritually blind people, can they? They'll both fall into the pit of hell. But you see, my friends, we Christians are not above Jesus. Instead, we Christians want to be like Jesus. We want to forgive as He forgives. We want to love as He loves. We want to help those who are spiritually blind, because that is exactly what Jesus did for us. We also want to be humble, as Jesus is humble. I mean, think about it. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. If anybody had a right to exalt himself, it was Jesus. But instead, He humbled Himself to serve others. So if Jesus humbled Himself, then how much more should we sinners humble ourselves and repent of any form of self-righteousness? Jesus concludes our gospel reading with these words, and pay close attention to these. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As my sermon title says, a blind man can't perform eye surgery. Before we can help others who are in bondage to sin, we must first realize that we are also unworthy sinners whose only hope is Jesus and the forgiveness that only He can give us. Before we attempt to help somebody with a particular sin issue in their lives, we first have to recognize the particular sin issues in our own lives, admit that they're wrong, bring them to God for forgiveness and for the strength to turn from them. Only then are we in a position to help others who are caught in sin. My friends, this is exactly what Paul means in our reading from Galatians when he talks about people who are spiritual helping those who are caught in sin. You see, when Paul says that you're spiritual, he doesn't mean that you're way up here and everybody else is down here. When he says that you're spiritual, he doesn't mean that you have far less sin than other people. That's not what he means at all. When he says that you're spiritual, he means that you realize that you are no better than anybody else, that if God were to give you what you deserve, you'd be in hell right now. But you know that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus and what He did for you. And by His grace, you strive to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for your life. That's what it means to be spiritual. To be a humble, repentant sinner who knows that we're saved through Jesus and Jesus alone. But you see, somebody who's caught in a sin, they're either affirming their sin, which means they're rejecting the forgiveness that Jesus would give them for that sin. Or maybe they know the sin is wrong, but they don't know how to escape. They don't know how to have freedom. But people who are spiritual, people who agree with what God's Word says about their sin and also believe what God's Word says about our Savior, we are in a position to help somebody who's caught in sin. So before we try to help somebody who is involved in some type of sinful behavior, we must first take the plank out of our own eye and recognize that we too are sinners who are saved by Christ alone. And once we've done this, then we will have the spiritual sight to perform spiritual eye surgery on those who are spiritually blind. And please note this. Remember earlier I said that many people misinterpret Jesus' words as though we're supposed to never, ever, ever confront anybody about their sin? Well, that's not what Jesus means at all. In fact, if you listen to Jesus' words, it's clear that He does want us to perform spiritual eye surgery on those who are caught in sin. Listen again to Jesus' words. He says, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Did you hear that? Jesus did not say, don't you ever dare try to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He didn't say that. What he said was, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, which is what Jesus does want us to do. But first, we need to humble ourselves before God, confess our own sins, cling to Jesus for mercy, and then we will have the spiritual sight to perform spiritual eye surgery on those who are spiritually blind. You know, when we see friends or family members involved in sin, you know what the devil tempts us to do? He tempts us to either ignore the situation, or worse yet, to even affirm their sin. I remember one time at my previous parish, I was preaching a sermon, and I was aware of an individual in the congregation who was caught in sin and refused to repent. Without mentioning the name, during part of my sermon, I addressed that particular sin issue and pointed out that it was wrong, but that there could be forgiveness in Jesus. After the service, the mother of this person came to me, very irate. And she said, how dare you talk about that sin issue? Don't you know my son does that? I love my son. I don't care what God's word says. I accept my son and I support him. That mother maybe thought she loved her son, but in reality, she did not. For if she truly loved her son, she would love him enough to show him how he had strayed from God's word and could have freedom and forgiveness in Jesus. But you see, that's how the devil gets us. He gets us to misinterpret Jesus' words, to think we can not only ignore the sin in the lives of people around us, but maybe even affirm it. And how convenient, because then we can affirm our own sins too, and rebuke anybody who tries to correct us. No, my friends, true love does not ignore sin. True love certainly doesn't affirm it. True love is willing to tell people what they need to hear. Now, my dear Christian friends, I know it is very, very hard to confront people about the sin in their lives, especially if those people are our friends or family members. But if we truly love these people, we will strive to speak God's truth in love to them. And if they don't want to hear what we have to say, well, then at least we've tried. And then all we can do is pray for them. Now, with that said, I have 5 very brief points to make about how we can help people who are caught in sin. 5 brief points. First of all, we need to admit that we've all failed in this area. We've either failed to confront people about their sin when we had the opportunity, or sadly, we've maybe even engaged in self-righteous judging. I know I'm guilty. I think of various times in my life when I had the opportunity to love somebody enough to confront him or her about the sin in their life and lead them to Jesus. But I didn't do it. I was too much of a coward. But the good news is that even though we've all sinned in this way, we can come to God with that sin. We can take that plank out of our eye and know that in Jesus we are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. You are forgiven. My second point is this. When you want to help a person caught in sin, begin with prayer. First of all, pray to God for guidance and pray fervently. Secondly, also pray for the person that you want to help. Bathe your attempt to help him or her in prayer. Third point, If you don't know the person that you want to help very well at all, then don't begin by confronting them about their sin. Build a relationship with that person first. Earn his or her trust first. Then, when there's an opportunity, lovingly confront him or her. Fourth, when you finally do confront this person, make sure you do so with humility and gentleness and compassion. Make sure they know that you really do care. You see, when you do finally expose somebody's sin with God's word, that's a really hard thing for them to take. It's hard for us to take. That's why when you do that, you need to do it with a spirit of humility and gentleness, so that they know that you are simply another fellow sinner trying to help them see the truth. Finally, after you use God's word to expose the sin in this person's life, be absolutely sure that you point them to Jesus as the only answer to their sin problem. Assure that person that they can come to Jesus with whatever their sin is, knowing that because of Jesus' sacrifice, they are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight, even as they continue to struggle with their sinful desires. You see, some people wrongly think, oh, God won't forgive me until I eliminate all sinful desires or behaviors in my life. No, God never says that. What he says is repent. In other words, come to him and say, God, these sinful desires, these sinful behaviors in my life, I know they're wrong. Your word says they are. I therefore beg for your forgiveness for Christ's sake, and I ask you to help me to live a new life. And you have to help me, because on my own there's no way I'll ever be able to do it. And even though God knows you're going to continue to struggle with sinful desires, even though God knows there are times you're going to fall on your face during moments of weakness, he loves you and forgives you. You see, being a Christian doesn't mean that you never sin. Being a Christian means that you grieve over the sin in your life and you bring it to Jesus for forgiveness and for the strength to turn around. So when you do confront somebody about their sin, make sure you point them to Jesus, because he is the only answer to their sin problem. In closing, I want you to always remember this truth: a blind man can't perform eye surgery. However, remember the words you sang in our sermon hymn? You sang the words, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The Holy Spirit has given you a heart of repentance and faith in Jesus. You know what that means? You do have the spiritual sight to perform spiritual eye surgery on those who are blind and need to see the truth. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.